Open your Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 6 in your Scofield Bible, page 1002, sixth chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 25th verse and reading through the 34th verse. We'll read these verses responsively. As is our custom, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall ye not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And let's pray. Father, once again, great is our opportunity. Thank you for this evening. You've prepared this crowd now for the fact that they're here. And help that there not be a wasted hour or a wasted moment in the life of anyone who is here tonight. And it indeed would be wasted if we were not to give our attention to that which is preached. Thus we pray the preaching, the preacher. Thank you for meeting with us. We have that promise. Thank you for that which you have in mind. Help that it will be accomplished in every sense of the word. Bless us tonight and help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of the Word of God. I pray your help as we do. May we benefit tonight so others can benefit tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage that was read a while ago talks greatly about don't be concerned so much about tomorrow. For example, it says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It says in one verse, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or where shall we clothe? And it says in another verse, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Now I tried to paraphrase that, take it all and bundle it up in one statement. And that one statement is the title of my sermon tonight. And this is the title of the sermon. Learn to enjoy where you are while you're on your way to where you're going. Learn to enjoy where you are while you're on your way to where you're going. I'm on my way to heaven. I know I'm going there. No doubt in my mind, I am as sure that I'm going to heaven as I am that I'm standing behind this piece of wood tonight. It will be wonderful. but I am to enjoy the journey. In particular, I am to enjoy where I presently am. One of the most beautiful songs ever written is one of my least favorite. I would sing it for you, but I'm afraid the crowd would be suffer, would be in pain. But I'll try. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small. In other words, the song implies it's a horrible journey, but the destination is wonderful. Now, I don't believe that. I mean, I'm enjoying the trip. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Now, I made that statement in the church I preached in not long ago. Just so happened the next night, the trio sang, "It will be worth it all." And so I said to the people after they got through, if they want to have a lousy trip, it's up to them, but I'm having a good trip. But not only is the destination wonderful, but the trip is also wonderful. And I'm to particularly enjoy where I am now. I said, learn to enjoy where you are while you're on your way to where you're going. Now, it's not a matter of a choice. I'm commanded to do so. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, I'm commanded to rejoice evermore. How many times have you heard me make this statement over and over and over again? God never commands you to do anything that you cannot will to do. God never commands. If God says you're supposed to love your neighbor, then you can choose to love your neighbor. If God says you're supposed to love your enemy, then you can choose to love your enemy. If God says you're supposed to be happy, you can will to be happy. You can decide to be happy. I'm commanded to rejoice evermore. In Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. That always means ain't no time you're not supposed to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord when you got money in your pocket. Rejoice in the Lord when you're flat broke. Rejoice in the Lord when you feel good. Rejoice in the Lord when you feel bad. Rejoice in the Lord when your wife's in a good mood. Rejoice in the Lord when she's in a bad mood. Or you'd never rejoice in the Lord. I'm commanded to rejoice in the Lord. Then it says, again I say, rejoice. Now that word rejoice means to rejoy. It means you're supposed to joy and then do it again. And again I say, what it means is you're supposed to joy and rejoy and rejoy and rejoy and rejoy and rejoy. And that's a command from God. You sourpusses are disobedient to the Word of God. And by the way, you people not having any fun on the trip are disobedient to the Word of God. You're living in sin. You're living in disobedience to the command of God who says rejoice evermore. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, I believe in the four temperaments and I'm melancholic. Well, your face looks like a melon, your head shaped like a collie. Maybe. But don't you believe all that garbage about those four temperaments. I mean, brother, God commands you to be sanguine. Is that what it is? Sanguine? Is that the good one? God commands you to be... You know, I love those big words, boy. I tell you what, melancholic and sanguine and what's those others? Choleric and what's the other one? Phlegmatic. Phlegmatic is what you cough up when you got a cold. I wouldn't give you a dime for Tim LaHaye's four temperaments. Not a dime. I mean, brother, my Bible says everybody's supposed to be happy. And God commands everybody to be happy all the time. He's to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. 8 times in the Bible, I'm commanded to rejoice in the Lord. 5 times in the Bible, I'm commanded to rejoice before the Lord. 1 John 1:4 says that your joy may be full. 1 Peter 4:13 says, be glad also with exceeding joy. But you say, Brother Hiles, I have temptations and it's hard for me to rejoice. I'm glad you said that because James 1:2 says, count it joy when you fall into diverse temptations. But you say, preacher, I have trials. I'm glad you said that because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:4, exceeding joy in all our tribulations. Oh, but you say, Brother Hiles, I'll tell you what, I've got enemies and I've been criticized and persecuted. I'm glad you said that Because Matthew 5:11 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." If tonight, if you are sick, you're supposed to rejoice. If folks are criticizing you, you're supposed to rejoice. God command, what he's doing, he's saying, you're going to go to heaven someday. I command you to have a happy trip. That's exactly what God is saying. And I'm saying, learn to enjoy where you are while you're on your way to where you are going. Oh, but you say, "Preacher, I'm suffering." I'm glad you said that, because Colossians 1:2 says, "Rejoice in suffering." The fact remains, I am to enjoy where I am while I'm on my way to where I'm going. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not a liberal, and I'm not a new evangelical. But I'll tell you one thing: I am. Some people say, "Oh, we're going to get to heaven someday. All the trials will be over. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ." I saw him this afternoon. Don't misunderstand me. I didn't have any vision this afternoon, but I fellowship with him this afternoon. Now, there are some people that when I get to heaven, I'm going to be happy. There are some people like the Norman Vincent Peales and the Robert Schuller's and that crowd. All they talk about is getting happy on the journey. Now, the truth is, they don't talk about how to get anybody to heaven. Now, the reason I am happy on the journey is because of where the destination is. I'm trying to say that the tragedy is that numbers of folks in this room tonight are waiting to get happy when you get to where you're going, but learn to enjoy where you are while you're on your way to where you're going. Where are you going? Are you on your way to college? Then enjoy where you are while you're on your way to college. Are you on your way to marriage? You dead sure better enjoy where you are while you can. It won't be worth it all. I'm trying. Are you on your way to marriage? Enjoy where you are while you're on the way to where you're going. I'm talking to some of you high school students that not enjoying high school because you can't wait till you get to college, and you'll be the same way when you get to college. You get to college, you'll be on your way to getting married. You get married, you'll be on your way to having kids. You have kids, you'll be on your way to retirement. You retire, you'll be on your way to heaven. And you get to heaven, you won't be happy because you're not going anywhere else. Where are you going tonight? Are you on your way to pastoring? Then enjoy where you are now while you're on your way to where you're going. Are you on your way to your dream house? Then enjoy where you live now while you're on your way to where you're going. Are you on your way to graduation? Then enjoy where you are now while you're on your way to where you're going. Are you on your way to retirement? Then enjoy where you are now while you're on your way to where you're going. There's nothing wrong with looking forward to graduation if you're having a big time while you're going there. Nothing wrong with looking forward to getting married if you're having a big time while you're going there, as long as your time's within the rules of the college. But there's nothing wrong with looking forward to retirement if you're having a good time. Listen, I have things that I am looking forward to doing, but bless God, while I'm walking there, I'm having the time of my life. I tell people all the time across America, I've never been so happy in my life. I've never enjoyed preaching like I enjoy preaching now. I'm 68 and a half years old. That means in about 10 years, I'll be 70. But I'm living it up. I'm having the time of my life. I mean that, brother. You say, "Brother Hiles, aren't you, as you approach the end of the road, is it tough?" All across America, people say to me, "Dr. Hiles, how goes the battle?" I say, "I don't know how goes the battle. You guys out here know about that. I don't know how goes the battle. I live way up here by myself. I mean, I don't even look down there, brother. I'm looking that way. I'm not looking that way. My ark has no wind in the bottom. My ark only has a wind in the top. I'm a child of the King. I walk with the King. Heaven's my home. God's my Father. Bible's my book. Holy Spirit's my power. Jesus my Savior. Rapture my blessed hope. I'm having time of my life. I've got to travel." People say, "Brother Hiles, how's the battle? How goes the battle in Hammond?" I don't know how goes the battle in Hammond. That's for all you gossips in California and Florida and North Carolina and North Dakota and Wyoming and Maine. You talk about the battle. I don't know what's going on. I think everybody loves me, because I'm not looking down to see. I used to have a deacon. You know, I like standing up here.
I was down in North Carolina preaching it, and I got up there on top of and at my age, the choir took out extra insurance. They were scared to death. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's time that God's people were the best advertisement in the world for God's salvation. I mean, the happiest folks in your plant ought to be you. Your advertisement. You ought to be the satisfied customer. I'm trying to tell you tonight, I am going to heaven. Thank God. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I'm bound for the promised land, but brother, while I'm going there, I'm having the time of my life. You sour pussies are pretty sorry advertisement to the Christian life. Some of you folks come to church, never smile. If you smiled, you'd crack. Your jaw would crack. You'd bleed in your chin. You're a pretty sorry specimen. Brother, every once in a while, just have a spell when you come to church. I'm happy today, and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior says, whosoever will may come to Him to stay. Where are you going tonight? To many, happiness is three things. One, it's what you had yesterday and didn't know it. It's what you have. Two, it's what you have today and don't realize it. It's three, it's what we'll realize tomorrow we had today. It is a very rare person who can savor present happiness. Oh, the good old days. Oh, foot, the good old days. I'm sick of that. And I remember the good old days. May I tell you something about the good old days? 40 feet behind the house was the potty. Those are the good old days. And it didn't flush. Those are the good old days. And you had to walk out there. Can you imagine tonight? Those are the good old days. Good old days when you washed your sheets in the wintertime, you hung them on the line, they were frozen stiff when you went out to get them. Those are the good old days. What the good old days were? Cardboard in my shoes. What the good old days were? Patches on my pants. What the good old days were? You washed your clothes on a rub board like that. You know what the good old days were? Good old days where you went out in a well and put a bucket down the water and got a well. What do you mean, good old days, brother? Enjoy it today. Now is the time. Today is the day. While you're on your way to where you're going, enjoy it now where you are. We have a lovely home, our house. Home, too, but a lovely house. We love it. It's big enough to where we can't catch each other. We're running each other. We love it. But you know, we've enjoyed every little place we ever lived. Man, we moved from one room. We had no way to cook. I mean, no way. And if we had a way to cook, we wouldn't have anything to cook. If we had something to cook, we wouldn't have anything to cook it in. Had something to cook it in, we wouldn't have any place to pour it in. That place to pour it in, we had a fork to eat it with. We moved into a place where we could cook. One little room, 6 by 12. Had to crawl across the bed to make over that side of the bed. You unmade the bed and you crawl back over from making that side of the bed. Shared. This is good old days. We shared a kitchen with 8 other couples. I can see Ms. Hiles now holding pots and pans and the food, fourth in line to cook. We had 2 bathrooms we shared with 8 other couples. I can see Miss Hiles. Anyway. But man, we were thrilled to death. We could cook. Our first little place, we couldn't cook. But now we can cook. We have to wait 2 hours to get the kitchen, but we can cook. And only one table. We had to reserve the table. Our little room, 6 by 12. But we loved it. Why? Because the place we had before, we couldn't cook at all. And then We rejoiced and enjoyed that little two-room apartment where we went next on Kennedy. It had a kitchen, no sink, but a kitchen. Had a bathroom, no lavatory. Miss Howells had to go to the bathroom to get some water and come back in, put the water on the stove to heat it. She had to wash with a wash tub in. Why don't you cry? This is sad. We thought we were living in hog heaven. I don't know what hog heaven is. But we thought we were, I guess it's a heaven where you eat pork. I don't know, but we thought we were in hog heaven. You know why? Because we had a kitchen. Two rooms. Remember that? Two rooms. What a deal. Now we're on our way to that parsonage out there, 8232 Greenwood in Munster, but brother, on the way we enjoyed where we were at the time. And then you talk about going downtown. We went to Marshall, Texas and had three rooms, and get this, we had a sink in the bathroom and the kitchen. And we had a lavatory in the bathroom. And man, we thought we had arrived. We thought we'd gotten there. You know why? We never have been with him. Oh, I can't wait till I get the next thing. No, sir! I'm glad I've got what I have! Boy, I wish I could teach you this. Then, we moved into a house in Marshall, Texas. Now, the back bedroom was so weak, both of us couldn't get in it at the same time. Front bedroom, we slept in the front bedroom because the back bedroom would fall, the floor would fall through if two people got in at the same time. Both of us were a bit heavy back in those days. I weighed about 170, Miss Howells weighed about 210. Anyway, we didn't have a yard. We had a back porch, and you've heard me tell about it. We had a rat on that back porch when we moved in. We were there 3 years. That rat was there, and we left. We put a rat trap out there. He sent us a thank you note for the toy. We put rat poison. He gained weight on it. When I mowed the yard, I never mowed the yard without killing at least two rattlesnakes. I'm not kidding you. And, brother, I hate snakes with a passion. I don't like anything crawls. I don't like a snake, don't like a worm, don't like a lizard, and don't like a baby that can walk. But we loved it. And then a little five-room house with one bath got available, and we paid $5,000 for it. And it had a yard, a real yard. And I never killed a snake there. Sort of boring to mow the yard. But we loved it. Becky was born there. And then we moved to another place about like that in Henderson, and then moved up to Garland and had a brick house. Two bedrooms, 8 by 10 each. One little bath. It had central heat. Had a little heater right in the center of the house. No joke. In the living room, there was a little grill on the floor, and the heat came up through that little grill. And Becky, to this day, has a tic-tac-toe on her, whatever that is, right there, where she fell on it one time, and it left a scar. I'm saying, but we loved it. We loved it. And then we moved into a house that wasn't brick, had a little brick trim, but it had three bedrooms. Not just one bath, but that's all I can take anyway. One bath. And then we converted the garage into a family room and put a half bath. I never did figure out which half to bathe, but we put a half bath in there. Some of you folks laugh or go home tired looking at you. Why don't you go to mass across the street? I'm trying to teach you a truth. You ought to learn, you sour puss. While you're on your way to where you're going, enjoy where you are now. I pastor the greatest church in the world. I have arrived. I'm going pretty soon, but I have arrived. I pastor the largest church in America, the greatest church in America, but I want you to know I didn't wait till I got here to get happy. When Deacon Wood Armstrong and Deacon and Charlie Smith counted those 17 votes at the Morris Chapel Baptist Church in the country outside of Bogota, Texas, and they came back in, and Mr. Charlie Smith said, "Reverend Hines, you have had an unanimous vote." He's the same guy that stood up one day in church and rebuked me in front of the whole church. He said, "Paul wrote letters to the Colossians, the Thessalonians, Corinthians. You never write us a letter." You ought to see the letter I wrote the next day. I went out in the front, the sign out there said Morris Chapel Baptist Church. I got me a little can of paint about that big and a Crayola brush, and I stuck it down in there, and I wrote Jack Hiles, Pastor, P-A-S-T-E-R, on that laugh, because that's not the way you spell it. I wrote it on there, and I want you to know I was happy as a June bug on the last day of May. I was ready, brother. I wasn't waiting. Someday I'm going to pastor a big church in this city, and I'm going to have thousands. I wasn't waiting for that. When I went out to preach to my 17 people, I lived it up. Enjoy where you are now. Some of you folks, if you're happy, would you let your heart tell you a phase? I enjoyed the Grange Hall Baptist Church. Small, I enjoyed it. Had troubles, I enjoy troubles. It's hard to do anything with a guy like me. I'm going to be happy in spite of you. They persecuted Paul. Paul said, "I rejoice in that." Had some tribulation. Paul said, "I rejoice in tribulation." Put him in jail. Paul said, "I'll sing the walls down. I'll kill you." He said, "Good, me to die is game. What you going to do with a fellow like that?" He enjoyed the trip. I enjoyed the Southside Baptist Church. I enjoyed the Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland. I did not know it. I was on my way to preaching to thousands of people like this. But brother, I enjoyed preaching to dozens. I enjoyed preaching to scores. I enjoyed preaching to hundreds. And now I'm enjoying preaching to thousands. I want to tell you tonight, I have never lived a day in the ministry when I could not say, I am happy now. Right now. I'm at the zenith of my ministry. But I enjoyed the Brush Arbor meetings. I'd go out and on a country road, get Jezebel. Nothing personal. Jezebel was my car. 41 Dodge. By the way, we're moving the Grange Hall Baptist Church building up here. It's going to be placed on our college. We now have permission to put it out there for pastor school. And we tried to find a 41 Dodge like the one that we owned, the first car we ever had. And we found two of them for sale in all America. And one was in Florida, and it's a gray car just like we owned. That's going to be parked at the college out in front of that little building, just like our little car was parked out in front of Grange Hall Baptist Church. I don't know where I am in my sermon right now. Let me see where I am. I called it Jezebel because it ran like a Ford. I'd get in Jezebel, and I'd drive out a country road. I'd pull over the side of the road, and I'd stop at a farmhouse and walk up, and I'd say, "Hey, we built a brush arbor down here about a half mile in the woods. Having preaching down there tonight. I got a fella going to play the trombone, maybe the accordion or something. Going to play the trombone. Going to have a concert down there. And when he gets through with the concert, I'm going to make a speech. Want you to come." Well, they had no place to go. They didn't have television sets. Most folks couldn't afford a radio. And if they did, folks back where I grew up didn't know how to play one. And brother, I'd spend all day house to house. "Hey, got a brush arbor down there." And I had time in my life. I'd get down there, that guy would play the trombone for 30 minutes. I'd preach for 45. maybe 100 people from all over the neighborhood. They'd come down and get saved. Man, I started 16 churches that way. 16 churches. I'd get me a tent. I'd set a tent up out in the edge of town. I'd go out to some park and set a pulpit in the pavilion of a park. I'd go out down to the tuberculosis sanatorium in Tyler, Texas, a giant tuberculosis sanatorium with 30-some-odd wards. I'd go from ward to ward preaching the gospel and getting folks saved. I wasn't waiting. Some of you preachers, wait until the pulpit committee calls you. I'd like to call you, but you wouldn't want to hear what I want to call you. Get your spot somewhere and cut loose and preach. Get your street corner. Get your hospital place. Get your jailhouse. Go down on the street corner. Get somewhere. Yeah. Wait till some pulpit committee calls you. You better pray that I'm not on that committee. You won't get my vote. I was happy. Man, you got it made, Brother Hounds. I had it made preaching at the Bush Harbor. You got it made. You drive a nice car. I drove Jezebel many years ago. Should get me half the places I wanted to go. Now you listen to me. You complainers and gripers are in direct disobedience to the Word of God, and you are as wicked as the drunk on the street corner that staggers in the rescue mission. You are in direct opposition to the Word of God. What do you mean complaining? My Bible said, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Boy, when I get here, I'm going to be happy. Enjoy where you are while you're going where you're going. I enjoyed that St. Mary's Baptist Church, preaching to my black friends. Boy, once a week I'd go out there and preach, and at midnight I'd still be preaching. I mean, as I've told you, they had kerosene lamps and lanterns, and we intended to stay a while. So they didn't light the lamps, the lanterns, till I got there. Well, the lamps, when I got there, I'd drive Jezebel up to the front, walk in, it's dark. You couldn't see anything. They were black, and it was dark. You couldn't see a thing. I'd say, hello, hello! And all of them would turn around. I counted the eyes, divided by two, and knew how many we had. Man, I'd preach out there. Old Deacon Bussey. I'd say, Deacon Bussey, service ended. About midnight, I'd say, Deacon Bussey, come and dismiss the service. He walked up there behind the pulpit and didn't do a thing. I said, Deacon Bussey, would you dismiss the service? He didn't say a word. I said, Deacon Bussey, I plead with you. I've asked you twice. This is the third time. Dismiss the service. Tears had streamed down his old black cheeks, and he'd look at me and he'd say, Reverend Jack, ain't nothing I wouldn't do for you, but I don't know what it means to dismiss. Boy, that's the truth. We never dismissed, I'll tell you for sure. I said, would you close the service in prayer? And he said, yes, sir, Brother Jack, I knows how to do that. And brother, he had prayed down the kingdom. He'd reach up and get the pearly gates and shake them, and you could almost see them. And Peter had leaned down and said, I never heard a prayer like that in my life. And I enjoyed it. I wasn't waiting till I got where I was going. I enjoyed where I was. I enjoyed preaching the jails. Every week I'd go to the Marshall jail and preach. One week I was there preaching in the jail. Started to preach, and the fellow said, Reverend, no need to preach. We're all members of your church. Had seven prisoners. We just had communion and I went home. I'm sick and tired of griping Christianity. I'm sick and tired of this kind of Christianity that no smile, no tear, no shout, no joy, no thrill, no hallelujah. We have nice clothes. We wear nice clothes, thanks to you. Thanks to friends like Tom Neal and others. They keep me decorated real nicely. And I think I'll always look cute. Mrs. Hiles wears nice clothes. But she enjoyed those dresses made out of feed sacks that she wore in the early days. I'm talking about feed sacks. Her daddy owned a feed store. And when he'd sell the feed, he'd save the sack. I wouldn't say this because I'm too nice. I wouldn't tell you that I didn't have to alter the sack at all. But I wouldn't tell you that at all. I'd be afraid to tell you that. These were designers' models. Originals. None other like them. We enjoyed it. We enjoyed it when I couldn't afford a suit of clothes. East Texas Baptist College had a clothing room where the preacher boys could go up and get a suit if he was going to preach on Sunday. And I didn't own a suit. Just got out of the Army. Couldn't afford a suit. Made $19 a week at JCPenney Company. Couldn't afford a suit of clothes. I went to the clothing room, got me a suit. When I preached the next Sunday, Miss Howes was sitting in the choir behind me. I did like this, and she said, "Psst, psst, psst, put your coat down." "What? Put your coat down." I said, "Why?" She said, "There's a patch in there. See the britches." I enjoy where I am, but I also enjoyed where I was when I was there. We started off 50 years ago, this October 24th. Nobody gave us a shower. Not even a sprinkle. Not a drop. We didn't have one wedding gift. We had no formal wedding. She had no wedding dress. We had no spoons. We had no... We could spoon, but we had no spoons. We had no forks. We had no knives. We didn't have a pan. We didn't have a plate, didn't have a cup, didn't have a saucer, didn't have a glass. And to be quite frank with you, I'm glad. I'm not against showers, I'm just glad we didn't have one. I know what I am against. I'll make somebody mad here. I'm against you writing a note to somebody and telling them that you've got your dishes registered so they know where to buy them. And when you send us an invitation to your wedding, we request your presence, and you spell it P-R-S-E-N-T-S. That bothers me some. Okay. When we had no car for 3 years. We had no furniture. Didn't have an eye for a fork. We enjoyed it. We'd go out to eat if we could afford it. We couldn't afford two meals. Time and time again, we've stopped at that little restaurant that said, in Mineola, had that little sign that said, "Quit your belly aching there." It's all one word, K-W-I-T-C-H-Y-A-B-E-L-I-A-K-I-E, and "Quit your belly aching." Mineola, Texas. We'd walk in there, couldn't afford but one meal. So only one of us could eat. I'll tell Ms. Howes next time you can. I'd buy her a plate lunch. She'd have tea. I'd take the lemon from her tea and the sugar and my water and make me some lemonade. I'd take her bread and the ketchup off the table and make me a ketchup sandwich. You stingy soul. Well, we were happy. She was. Did you know you don't have to have a cheese quarter pounder with French fries and a milkshake to be happy? You can be just as happy with the Whopper and French fries. I'm one of those moods tonight. We may be here the rest of the night. He says, "Why don't you preach the gospel?" "I am. You can't understand it." I'm trying to tell you the good news that you can be happy where you are. You don't have to have a new house. You don't have to have a new car. You don't have to have a big church. You can be happy in that apartment where you live, that one room where you live. Happiness is not out there. Happiness is in here. And you're commanded to rejoice now while you're on your way. Enjoy where you are now. Now the question is, are you enjoying where you are now? If you're not, it's a sin. Some of you students' wives are disobeying the direct commands of God, and you're as backslidden as a person that uses God's name in vain. You're disobeying the command of God to be content with whatsoever things you have. You're giving your husband hell. I don't mean that it's a curse word. I mean you're giving him, he's living in hell while he's going to college. Because you're complaining because you don't have what Ms. Hiles have. And I'll guarantee you one thing, brother or sister. You've got a heap more than she had when she was where you are. You know where you're going. But the truth is, you may not get there. I know a man who was going to the mission field, prepared to go, then accepted by the mission board, beginning his deputation, graduate of Howells Anderson College, was riding his bicycle to work because he couldn't afford a car. It was a rainy day. Somebody lost control of the car, hit him on his bicycle, and he was killed. He didn't get where he was going. Some of you folks will never be happy because you're waiting to be happy when you get where you're going, but you may not get there. It just may be that you've been going all along to where you are now. I know a man who came to preach for me years ago in Texas. Walked in, sat down here on the front row during the song service. I was going to call him up during the offertory prayer. Sat right there on the front row. Within 10 minutes of preaching, He came to preach that night. He grabbed his chest. He fell over dead right before he preached. He didn't think it, but that's where he was going. You don't know if you're going to get where you're going or not, but you know you're where you are now. I know a man who came to Grange Hall Baptist Church. Name was Boulware. We passed by his house the other day. I showed it to you guys the other day. Came to church on a Sunday night. He walked out the door. I shook his hand. And I said, "Mr. Boulware, don't you want to get saved?" He said, "I'll get saved in my time. I'm going to get saved, but I'll get saved in my time." He was 41 years of age. Next morning, I was sitting in the auditorium of our church. A person rushed up the window and called me out. He said, "Come quickly. Mr. Boulware just had a heart attack." I drove about a half mile down the road to Robert's store, turned left, went right behind Robert's store. I heard a scream, walked in there. Mrs. Boulware was up on the bed where his dead body was, giving him artificial resuscitation. Is that what I'm talking about? Giving him, anyhow, trying to, and screaming, "Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! He was dead! She was trying to bring him back to life, screaming, 'Wake up! Wake up!' You may not go where you think you're going. You may be now where you're going. You're going to live life without ever being happy or having joy because you're waiting to get there to be happy. Brother, be happy now while you're on the way to where you think you're going." I know a young lady last name was Tucker, Boynton Tucker, sister. What was her name? What was her name, Arlene? She was engaged to get married. The wedding day was set. She was then 2 weeks of her wedding. She became seriously ill and died. Young lady about 19 years of age, lived on my paper route when I was a boy. They buried her in her wedding dress. She was on her way to get married, she thought. But the truth is, she was on her way to be engaged. And I'm talking to people tonight, if you died tonight, you wouldn't have spent a happy day in your life. Because you're waiting to get there. But while you're on your way, enjoy where you are. Listen to me. Listen to a man who's been living a long time and has squeezed every bit of joy and happiness out of his life he can. I was just as happy at Morris Chapel Baptist Church preaching to 19 people as I am tonight. I was just as happy driving Jezebel as I am driving a nice car tonight. I was just as happy in that little apartment, 2007 North Franklin Street, Marshall, Texas, as I am tonight. I was just as happy drinking homemade lemonade and a ketchup sandwich while Ms. Hiles is having a good meal as I am tonight. My happiness does not depend on whether I've got pink curtains, blue curtains, or no curtains. My happiness doesn't depend on whether I've got carpet or tile or wood. My happiness doesn't depend on whether I've got car that's long or short. My happiness doesn't depend on whether I'm wearing a nice suit or a hand-me-down suit. I've been there. And I want you to know every step of the journey I've taken to where I am tonight, I've enjoyed it. And brother, when you lay me to rest, as you look at my puss, and just be sure you fix my hair right. If they don't fix my hair right, keep the casket closed. And by the way, you better train them on yours a little bit too, son. I've looked under there. This is the biggest hypocrite in the church right here. You can tell mine, you can't tell his. The other day I saw him with that hair pulled back and I drilled holes in it. You come by and see me in the casket and you look at me and walk by, there's one thing you can say. Old Jack, don't you call me Jack. Old Jack lived a full life. He lived a full life. When Jesus said it's finished, he didn't mean everything was over. He meant that that part of his life had been lived to its fullest. He had done everything he was supposed to do for those 33 years. He meant the whole thing he was supposed to do, everything between his birth and his death, had been accomplished. And brother, when you look at me in the casket, somebody else stands behind this pulpit, and you walk by and you look at my place, our burial place is already fixed up out there, already paid for. I've been paying for it for several years, got it paid for the other day. $50 a month since 1928. You walk out there and look at that place. It says, Jack Hiles. You just look at it and say, that old boy's gone, but he lived a full life. He wasn't going anywhere to be happy. He was going somewhere, but not to be happy. He was happy where he was. And it's time some of you people tonight, some of you college students, it's time that you got right with God. You look down your snoot at somebody who's saying something you shouldn't say or using curse words or doesn't work on your bus route, and yet you're not happy and you're in direct disobedience to the commands of Almighty God and you're backslidden. Some of you are living in that little apartment we first had. Some of you are living in that first little house we had. Some of you are living in that little two-room place we had. Some of you are living in that little two-bedroom place of one bath we had. And the truth is, you're waiting to get what we have at 8232 Greenwood. But you listen to me carefully. If, and I'll close with this, if you do not enjoy where you are now, you will not enjoy where you are then when you get there.
Because it's not what's happening to you that causes your joy. Your joy maker is not working. And if you are not content with where you are right now, when you get out here, you'll not be content out there either. The whole scripture here talks about don't live for tomorrow. Live for today. And I said again, and listen to me carefully, learn to enjoy where you are while you're on your way to where you're going. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing.